Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Let's get this conversation started. Things I learned from my first year of podcasting: the good, the drama, and the mishaps. I thought it'd be fun to talk to you guys about this journey thus far, being a podcaster, creating the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast, and the shows within the show, because I don't think that this is something that we've touched on before, and I know that some of you might be interested in starting your own podcast. As well as just this having been a journey, I think it might be good to just talk through some things that I've learned in this journey, in this process, because anytime you're starting anything new, there's going to be a learning curve. There should be things that you walk away with having learned, whether it's good or bad. And the process is something that you have to be open to, but I feel like when others are open, it gives us a chance to learn from them and then maybe not do the same things or take notes and do things slightly different. So I'm going to go ahead and get into the things that I've learned from my first year podcasting. And the first thing is, I'm comfortable on the mic. I never envisioned myself operating in this capacity. That's just first and foremost. You know, we're all used to traditional radio and things like that, and DJs on the radio, and DJs that are actually DJs spinning records, but on the mics at clubs and different things like that. I remember when I used to live in LA and I used to go out all the time when I was in college, and my first few years after college, like, I stayed in a club in Hollywood, and there would be these guys that would be on the mic, and I guess they were called like DJs or like hosts, but they would just walk around through the party, and they were like the man, and they'd be on the mic just talking and everything all the time. And I never looked at them like, wow, I want to do something like that, or I want to feel that comfortable on the mic. Never, never, ever in life did that thought ever cross my mind. But through podcasting, I realized that I am comfortable on the mic. And funny story. So this year, one of my friends got married, and at her wedding, okay, prior to her wedding, she said that she wanted me and another friend of ours to be sort of like the MCs. That was going to be our role within her wedding party. And so I was like, all right, cool. It gave me a little bit of anxiety, but because I'm like, how do you, you're basically the entertainment. How do you entertain wedding guests like the whole evening? What do you say? What do you do? I know there's some staple things that you do at a wedding reception, but I don't know what that exact rundown is. So I had a little bit of anxiety. But then she came back and said, you know what? I want you guys to just scratch that. The DJ is going to actually do it, because I want you guys to be there as guests and just enjoy yourself as my friends and enjoying my day. So cool. Then we get there. We get to the wedding. Everything's taking shape. She looked beautiful. Her husband looked handsome, amazing looking couple. The wedding was great. And then we get to the reception. And the DJ, we sort of helped him, my friend and I sort of helped him throughout the actual wedding ceremony with the music, because we knew what the music was. And so when we get to the reception, he's looking at us like, we're in this together, right? Like, here's mics. Here's your mic. Let's go. Like, let's rock out. Let's do this. And my friend and I are like, what? We're not prepared. We didn't think we were going to have to do this job. So, like, we're not ready for this. But there was no time for that. The wedding planner from the venue, she's like, let's go. You guys are on the mic. And we're like, oh, okay. So she gives us like this rundown. This is how the evening's going to go. Boom, 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 boom. She writes it on this little sheet of paper. We take the sheet of paper and we're off. No choice. Guests are starting to come into the reception area. So there's no backing out now. So our first order of business is that we welcome everybody into the reception. And then we have to start introducing the bridal party. And funny enough, so my friend, she starts like, we decide we're going to bounce off of each other. So one person go and then the other person go and then back and forth, back and forth. So she introduces like the first person and then I go and then she introduces the second person. And I noticed that she wasn't exactly comfortable yet. And she was like sort of quiet. And like anybody that's been to a wedding where they introduce the wedding party, like that's the time to liven everybody up. You have to be loud and boisterous. These people are all coming in on different songs. They've picked their song they're coming in on. So like, they're hyped when they come through the door. So you have to match their enthusiasm. So I just kind of took over from there. I was like, I got it. Don't worry about it. And I found myself announcing these people coming into the wedding party as if they were coming in to play basketball or at a sports arena. It was like, and now introducing... You guys, don't laugh. Well, you can laugh. It's okay. I won't know if you do anyway. But it was so crazy because I don't even know what I tapped into and what I channeled to make it happen. But my voice was loud and big and they were excited and the room was roaring and it was good. It was fun though. So I say all that to say, in the end, we both found our groove. We had a good time with it. It made the wedding so much more fun. And the bride said that people kept coming up to her and they were saying, oh my gosh, where did you find these girls? Where did you hire them from? They are so good. We love them. And she was just cracking up because she just kept having to tell people, these are like my real life friends. Like, I didn't hire them. I didn't find them somewhere. This is just who they are. And so at that point, I realized that I was actually really a lot more comfortable on the mic than I had ever known, ever planned to be, ever anticipated being. But I'm comfortable with it. I like it now. I embrace it. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to go with the flow of the things that come naturally to you and just let it work and see how it works itself out. So I hope you enjoyed that story because I said all that to say I am comfortable on the mic. And that is one thing that I've learned through my first year of podcasting. I also learned that I like interviewing people. That's another comfortable space for me. I like and I really enjoy telling people stories and allowing them and guiding them through to tell their stories. Now, the next thing that I learned is that high profile people or people with some status, let's say, they may cancel and reschedule a few times and there's nothing you can do about it. So if you have a time frame that you want them to fit into, you better make sure that you give yourself enough time to execute that interview before your deadline hits, knowing and understanding that they may cancel, they may reschedule a few times, and things may not go exactly according to your plan. The next thing that I learned is that I need to give, and you listening might want to give, potential guests time to let their story marinate and develop. And the reason that I say that is because quite a few of our past guests have since changed their directions in their personal life or their professional life. And that's okay. It's actually great even because it means that there's some growth and they're making some headway and they're realizing things that they need to do versus things that they don't need to do. But then I have episodes that people may go back and listen to. And then when they go and look up this person, then they might be a little confused because they're like, wait, so where did that come into the story? Because you know, things have now changed for that person. But if nothing else, it definitely shows growth, and you can always appreciate growth from a person. But that's just a little note that I made to myself, is just give people a chance to develop into their story and let their story marinate a bit, maybe before I share their story with you. The next thing that I learned is you don't always have to stick with what you started with. This sort of ties into the point that I just made and the thing that I just learned. And this is more personal for me, because this, for those who don't know, this podcast started off being called Life According to Her. So if you go back and you listen to some of the early episodes, you'll hear that the intro says Life According to Her. And I thought about like going back and updating it and changing it. And on top of it being a lot of tedious work, I was just like, is it actually required? Because that is a part of the journey. So about, I don't know, maybe like 25 episodes in, I really started to feel this pull that I needed to change the name of the podcast. And Switch, Pivot, or Quit was initially a series name. So it was the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chats, the conversations that I have when I interview guests that have made a Switch, Pivot, or Quit. So at some point, I realized that I really liked the Switch, Pivot, or Quit name, and it really spoke to everything that I was talking about, addressing, had gone through myself and everything else within this journey and on my platform. So I said, you know what, this is more fitting. And I played with the idea for a while. I'm just giving you guys the background here. I played with the idea for a while before I actually made the change. And this is a testament to letting go. And I haven't talked about this before, but I'll share it with you guys since, you know, we're peeps like that. So I had the name Life According to Her from back when it was a blog, and it was comfortable and it felt good. But I realized that at a certain point after the podcast launched that that name really spoke to a different place in my life. And it also led people to a different conclusion about what they might get and what they might hear when they came to this podcast. It felt more like storytelling from a personal one-on-one perspective, and not exploration and the journey and inspiration and encouragement and incorporating other people's and their people in their stories. It didn't exactly feel like that. So I thought that Switch, Pivot, or Quit felt more like that. So that's when I finally decided to pull the trigger and make that change. And then this leads me into my next thing that I learned over this year of podcasting, my first year, is that not everything needs to be announced in broadcast. We are certainly in a time where oversharing is the thing. It's the main thing that we do, but we need to know when to move smooth. And for me, switching the name of the podcast, it was a smooth move. I hope you guys feel the same way. And not to say that it was a smooth move in that, like, I'm so slick and savvy and all of that, and it was effortless. No, it was just that I didn't make it a big announcement about it. I didn't make it a big production. I didn't feel like it needed to be that. I just felt like there was already a space for it. It had already been introduced, the Switch, Pivot, or Quit name and concept. And so I just needed to make a slight transition, and I didn't need to make a production of it. And what I learned by that is that sometimes when you make too much of a production, people are paying attention too hard, and you're trying to prepare them, and then they have these expectations of something that just might not be that big of a deal. To them, maybe it's a big deal to you, but it might not be that big of a deal to them. So if I had gone on and on for weeks and weeks telling you guys, oh, a change is coming, a change is coming, and then I changed the name, you might have been like, womp womp. Okay, great. You changed the name. And what? Like, the content stayed the same, all of that. So pay attention when you're feeling like you need to change something, something that's outward facing and that other people have been exposed to. Pay attention to how you might need to do it, because you might not always need to do it in the biggest, most showy way. Sometimes you can be really subtle and it'll be just as effective, if not even better. You also have to pay attention to how you're moving within business and work, what works best for you in that space when you're making a change. Hope that clarifies some things for you and helps for you to understand that not everything needs to be a production. Now, the next thing that I learned is that because of the sensitive nature of audio, and I say this with so much love, I can't be someone's first live media interview. The Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast cannot be someone's first live media interview. It's just not the best setup for their success, and it just doesn't do them justice. And this is something that I had to learn. I love when people reach out to me and they take a chance and their story is fitting and it works and I get them on the podcast and all is great. But there are the times where someone takes a chance and their story might be fitting, but they just might not be ready. And when I say they might not be ready, it's just that they have not had enough exposure to be prepared enough and to come off in a way that sounds like they're prepared and effortless so that it can be the best interview for the podcast, it can be the best listening experience for you guys, and it can be the best experience for them and they get the return that they want. Because a lot of the times when people come on podcasts, whether it be this podcast or any other podcast, it's because they want to promote something. It's because they want to raise their profile. It's because they want their voice to be heard. Whatever the reason is, you just want to make sure, and I just want to make sure that it is doing the best for you that it can possibly be. So with that, I have learned and realized that I can't be someone's very first media interview. And another reason that I say that, and if you're someone who's listening thinking, oh, that's harsh, I was actually going to pitch her, now what do I do? What you do now is you study, you research, you get yourself some interviews, maybe phone interviews that will then be translated into a print interview, and you just start practicing. A lot of people tell me that I speak well in sound bites and things of that nature. Well, that's because I've media trained people before because of my prior profession in PR. Another thing that you do that we have not talked about before and I did not talk about on the previous PR related episode. And if you haven't heard that one, go listen to that one. It's about maybe two episodes before this one. One of the things that you do in PR is you do media training. And media training gets the person that's going to be interviewed ready to speak and deliver messaging in a certain way. So if you are not media trained, but you are working on getting interviews and getting yourself booked, there's different things. I'm sure you can Google something now that will give you tips and teach you how to media train yourself, maybe even. There's probably a good YouTube video out there. So I would just say start with some research. Start building your arsenal of media so that by the time you come to a podcast in a space where you have to sort of be live and on, you're ready. That's it. It's not to say that it can't happen. It won't ever happen. It's just to say, take your time to get to where you need to be and put yourself in the best position to win. Now, the next thing that I learned is that live shows are hectic. So at this point, I've done 3 live shows and they're hectic in the sense that the day of, it's just on, go, go, go. It's just like any other event. And then I also realized that as many people that you get to RSVP, there's a lot of no-shows. So sometimes it makes it feel like, oh, like how like rude of you to RSVP and not show up. But that is the nature of the beast. And it just really enforced for me that live shows are hectic. It takes a lot of work. And if you want a certain amount of people to show up to anything, you need to book double. That's it. Book double. So The next thing that I learned is that I can pull off things in a crunch, okay? So one of my most recent live shows, I had only one main guest in person that I was interviewing. And due to a family tragedy, let's say, because that's really what it was, I won't get into the specifics of what her business is because it's not my business. She had to cancel at the last minute, at the day of, the morning of. So I had to kick it into high gear, go into beast mode, and like secure another guest. And I ended up securing two other guests, and it turned out to be a great interview, and we had a great time with the audience, and it was a good live show. But it was just like frantic that day of, and I didn't have time to like tell you guys what was going on social media and all that. I had to kick it into high gear, and I had to take action, and I had to rebook for this live show. So that is another thing that I learned, is that I am good under pressure, and I knew that before, but this is just a whole nother capacity, and that I can just really pull things off when I need to do it. Now, the next thing that I learned is to speak up and ask for what you want and ask for what you need. Simple as that. I don't even need to go into much detail because you already know. It's like, look, if you don't ask for it, nobody knows that you need it. Nobody knows that you need the help. They can't be there for you if you don't allow them to be there for you. So ask for what you need. One of the other things that I learned is that sometimes I have moods where I am not really that talkative, believe it or not. And sometimes I'm just not feeling it when it comes to recording. So I only record when I'm feeling it. And then that rolls into the next thing that I learned, is that I had to decide and start designating specific days of the week for me to record. Because when I first started booking guests, my calendar was all over the place because I was trying to go off of what the guests' needs were. And I quickly realized that was going to run me ragged. So I started implementing a system where I only record on certain days of the week. And if you want to be on the podcast and if you want to get on the schedule, then guess what? You will make yourself available for those days of the week, and you will book your session and or your appointment with me, and we will record on that day, and everything will be all great. So that helps me manage my time and my days better. The next thing that I learned is that not everyone will appreciate your offer for free publicity. Getting on someone's podcast, that is basically free publicity. So I've had guests decline, some people that you guys have even suggested to me. And one in particular, it was funny because it's a big YouTuber. And if I said the name, you guys would know it. And I know I hate when people do that too, but I'm just not in the business of outing people, especially because this person very well may change their mind and I may have them on the show and I don't want it to be weird or awkward. So went to this person and their team came back and said, oh, we're not, thank you, but we're not interested in partnering at this time, or we're not doing any partnerships or something like that at this time. And I was like, what are you talking about? Media is not a partnership. Like, I'm not asking you for anything in return. And that's the other thing with my guests. I don't ask. I offer that they can promote themselves being on the podcast, but they don't have to. It's not a requirement. It is my job to promote them being on the podcast. That is solely up to me. It's great that they're on the podcast, but they don't have to then do any extra work if they don't want to. So it just kind of threw me off. I was like, you know, this is where sometimes the disconnect comes in between traditional and old school media and like new media. And because you have situations where people are used to being paid for things that normally you might not get paid for and stuff like that. So they reference this as a partnership, but it's like, it's probably because you're used to doing YouTube partnerships, but this is not a partnership. This is actually straight media. This is a media interview. So you say yes or no, either you have the time to do it or not. There's no money involved. There's no negotiation, nothing like that. This is not a partnership. So I learned that some people just don't get it, and you might not even be able to make them get it. So you just move on and say, okay, cool. Thanks for your time. Take care. Bye. So, you know, you live and you learn as you go. The other thing that I learned is that people are listening despite not making the coveted top rankings of like the iTunes lists and things like that. My people, you guys are rocking out with me and showing me love every chance that you get. And I absolutely appreciate it. You guys are sharing with friends. You guys are sliding in DMs. You guys are posting and reposting on your Instagram stories, on Facebook, you're sharing and all of those things. And I really appreciate it. It just lets me know that you guys are listening. And sometimes when you make like episodes like this as podcasters and stuff, we make these episodes in the hopes that you're listening, in the hopes that someone is listening, but you don't always know. So this is just when I see you guys talking about episodes, shouting out episodes, telling me what you've learned, telling the masses what you've learned, sharing with your friends. It just lets me know and confirms that you guys are listening and you're enjoying what you're hearing. And I appreciate that. And it helps me to know what you are liking and gravitating to. So I love that I've learned that people are really listening, and it's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing. And the last thing that I learned and that I wanted to share with you guys is to take chances. It doesn't have to be the biggest or the biggest like idea or the most like jaw-dropping thing, but sometimes you just have to take chances, try, make things happen, even if you don't know what's going to come of it, even if it seems like the smallest idea. That's exactly what I did with Podmas, which you are listening to right now, which is the first 12 days in December doing daily podcasting episodes. And a part of the reason that I decided to do this and just make it happen and take the chances because I thought, you know what, if I don't do this now, then that means I won't have an opportunity to do this until next year. And somewhere during the year, I might regret that I didn't do this, that I didn't take action on this idea. So I just decided to go ahead and do it. And I'll tell you, the feedback has been amazing so far. You guys have been loving all of these episodes. I've been loving getting a chance to talk to you more, let's say one-on-one. It's not like an interview. It's more me giving you guys regular content from me, from my heart, from my mind, from what I've experienced and learned and all of that. So I've been enjoying that. As well as when I look at the stats on the back end, I can see that you guys are enjoying it because day by day, you got the numbers are not dropping off. You guys are listening to these episodes regularly. So anybody else out there who's listening that's a podcaster or thinking about being a podcaster and doing a podcast, I would definitely say that it's a good idea for you to jump in on this Podmas thing when December rolls back around in 2018, because you will see growth, you will see momentum, and if your people are really rocking with you like that, they will enjoy listening to daily shows from you because they know that it's not something that's the norm and not something that's going to happen all the time and come about all the time. So once again, I thank you guys for hanging out with me. I thank you for all the support, of course, during Podmas. I thank you for the support in general of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. And out of everything that I've learned, I just really know that this is where I need to be. And I'm happy being in this space with you guys and sharing the time that I get to share with you guys. So I thank you for being supportive of me, Ayana Angel, in this space of podcasting. And I look forward to all the continued growth. I look forward to the amazing things that I know are coming next year because there's already some things in the pipeline that it's like, woo, that's pretty cool. Like, I'm excited about it. So I can't wait to continue on this journey with you guys. And I hope that you continue sharing and listening and loving what you hear. And as always, you guys, keep killing it.